This is a recording for the Manuel Perez teleconference with IR Strat, Thursday, July 26, 2018, scheduled for 11 a.m. Central Time. Good morning and welcome to the second quarter 2018 FIBRA Monterrey's conference call. With us this morning from FIBRA Monterrey, we have Javier Yaca, COO, and Jaime Martinez, CFO. They will discuss some of the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the quarter. It is important to note that the presentation referred to this conference is available at www.fibramty.com. And recording of this call will be accessible on the website of the company in the next 2 hours. Let me remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. FIBRA Monterrey undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Javier Yaca. You may begin.
Thank you, Chantel. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for attending our second quarter 2018 conference call. We are very pleased to inform that the quarter that just ended brought with it the highest quarterly distribution to IPE by FIBRA Monterrey since its inception back in December of 2014. This is 27.4 cents of a peso per share. This is mainly due to our commitment and discipline in increasing the occupancy of our portfolio, controlling operating expenses, and continuing proper management of our internal structure. This translates in more than 88% and 79% NOI and EBITDA margins, respectively. Later during the call, Jaime will talk in more detail about the financials, and I will address more of our operating highlights in a moment. During last June, we announced the decision of postponing the second equity issuance under our Programa Multivalor for up to 2 billion pesos. This decision was driven by findings during our due diligence on some of the properties of the Horizonte portfolio, which would delay its potential acquisition. As these findings might be favorable results, we will decide whether we acquire or not these properties probably by the end of this year. We want to echo that a balanced capital structure is a critical cornerstone of our business model, and therefore it is instrumental for us to properly execute all acquisitions within a reasonable time frame after equity issuances to reduce as much as possible the dividend dilution for our shareholders. We will continue to do so. Finally, and before addressing some of our operating highlights, we want to spend a minute to talk about the recent election process in Mexico, process that, by the way, we believe was an exemplary democratic exercise of which we, as Mexicans, feel extremely proud. We are paying attention and will continue paying attention to all potential opportunities and challenges that might arise from economic statements made by the future federal government and officials. We reiterate our trust in all public institutions and our unconditional commitment towards our employees, our shareholders, and our country. Thank you again for joining us today, and let us talk in more detail about the operations and financial aspects of FIBRA Monterrey. Let me start with the same property performance analysis of the portfolio for the second quarter that we present on page 3 of the webcast material. The portion of the portfolio for same property purposes is comprised by 34 out of the 43 properties. The occupancy dropped 20 basis points due essentially to the vacancy of the Atento property, now known as Zen 1, plus few new occupancies of previously vacant space. In terms of gross revenue, this grew from 185 million pesos to almost 192 million pesos, a growth of 3.4% driven by the combination of marginal vacancies and occupancies, lease escalations, and exchange rate variations. At the same time, we were able to enhance operating expenses by 8.7%, mainly due to more strict expense controls and some economies of scale. This resulted in an increase on our net operating income of approximately 8.5 million pesos or 5.4% growth, which matches the weighted peso-dollar inflation rate plus variation in the exchange rate. It is important to point out that the same property NOI margin increased 170 basis points from 86% in the second quarter of 2017 to 87.7% during the last quarter of this year. Once we incorporated additional acquisitions and constructions from the Huasteco, Catacha 2, and Cuauhtémoc transactions, which are mostly triple net leases, we were able to increase our net operating income in almost 20% year-to-year, and our NOI margin increased 200 basis points from 86.6% to 88.6%. On page 4 of the presentation, you have a geographic snapshot of our portfolio with no difference from the previous quarter. We are only considering existing properties and acquisitions that are already in process of being incorporated to our portfolio. We are not including transactions that are in process of due diligence like the Horizonte portfolio or currently being negotiated. On page 5 of the presentation, you have the key performance indicators of the portfolio, as well as the expiration profile of our lease contracts, all as percentage of our income. There are little, if no, differences from the previous quarter, mainly due to exchange rate variation and some escalations. We're very active on several renewals and new leases recently agreed upon and even signed, and revenue from these transactions will start to show in the next few months. The weighted average remaining term is 5.1 years, although we already started to negotiate renewals of leases expiring in 2019 and even 2020. So we expect to stretch our weighted average remaining term very shortly. On page 6 of the presentation, you can see the list of our top 10 tenants and the distribution of our income by economic activity of our tenants. Again, there is little difference from the previous quarter, and we currently don't see any major risk factors from any specific user or economic sector in our portfolio. I will be more than happy to answer any question later and address in more detail any aspect of the operation of our company. With that, I'm going to ask our CFO, Jaime Martinez, to talk about the key financial aspects of Fibra Monterrey. Go ahead, Jaime.
Thank you, Javier, and good morning to everyone. In our view, second quarter results reflect the importance of having financial flexibility through the balance sheet management strategy. Before our comments related to our report numbers, I would like to go through some remarks describing such strategy. Regarding cash and equivalents, our philosophy is to limit cash to a level that supports the operation, even though short-term investment opportunity cost is at a very low level. For that reason, as shown in slide 8, we decide to maintain more resources than in a more normal scenario to be able to execute our pipeline. We think that a flat yield curve is a short-term distortion, so our excess of cash should be used within the next two quarters. In terms of leverage, our loan-to-value is currently at around 25%, below the 35% authorized by our technical committee and far below the regulatory limit imposed by Banco de Mexico. It is important to consider that even when positive carry between properties cash flows and debt interest provide us around 300 basis points, our priority is to have a loan-to-value level that can support a significant reduction in occupancy without breaching credit covenant limits. Additionally, the syndicated loan of $98 million subscribed on December 2015 with an original maturity of due 2020 was successfully extended with the primary objective of mitigating the refinancing risk at a single point in time as shown in the chart on page 8 from a remaining term of 2.5 to 5 years approximately. The negotiation distributed the payment of the outstanding loan balance into two tranches with new maturities in June 22 and December 23. It is important to note that the applicable interest rate remained unchanged at LIBOR plus 250 basis points and the remaining term was completely hedged, resulting in a new weighted average fixed rate of 4.73%. Given the flexibility that provides our cash and potential to take additional leverage maintaining a prudent balance sheet, we are not going to go for additional equity unless we have enough certainty about potential acquisitions that exceed Fibra Monterrey's current financial capacity. After some words about our balance sheet strategy, let me go through the second quarter results in page 10. Total revenue reached 229 million pesos, representing an increase of 17% when compared to second quarter 17. Revenue from acquisitions contributed 37 million pesos compared to second quarter 17. They grew 13.8%. Property expenses reached 26 million pesos, a decrease of 1% versus second quarter 17. Operating expenses from acquired properties amounted 2.4 million pesos in second quarter 18, 7.5% more than the figure recorded in second quarter 17. Administrative, trust fee, and general expenses totaled 22.7 million pesos in second quarter 18, an increase of 18.7% versus second quarter 17, mainly due to the management team formation carried out through the year, higher appraisal fees related to the new properties, strengthening of public relations activities, new trustees related to bank loans subscribed, higher technology expenses, and other minor impacts. Second quarter 18 EBITDA was 182.2 million pesos, 20.2% higher than versus previous year. EBITDA margin stood at 79.3%, an expansion of 200 basis points when compared to that of second quarter 17, driven by our internally managed operating structure that allows Fibra Monterrey administrative expenses to increase according to its business needs, which are listed in the administrative expenses section rather than proportionate to revenue and or acquisition. It is important to mention that once the excess cash is applied to the acquisitions announced and the financial income substituted by property revenues, EBITDA margin should be higher than 80% given the economies of scale. During second quarter 18, Fibra Monterrey generated 182.3 million pesos in funds from operations, 40.4% higher than previous year, equivalent to 28.6 cents per CBFI. On an annualized basis, the performance of the FFO per CBFI for second quarter 18, calculated at CBFI price of 12.6 at the end of 2017, reached 9.1% yield. CAPEX totaled 7.7 million pesos, leading to a 38% annual increase in adjusted funds from operations to reach 174 million pesos, representing an AFFO per CBFI of 37.4 cents. On an annualized basis, the yield for the quarter calculated at 12.6 reached 8.7%. The distribution corresponding to the second quarter of 18 is equivalent to 100% of AFFO. Let me finish my presentation with a chart presented in slide 9, which shows Fibra Monterrey distribution evolution since IPO. It is important to mention that our business model allows us to increase dividend as a consequence of acquisitions, economies of scale, leverage, and organic growth. The exchange rate is also relevant in the distribution evolution. As you can see in the chart, there is a high correlation between peso-dollar ratio and the change of the divided in pesos. Even so, the increase of the distribution has been higher than the peso depreciation. In our opinion, the chart illustrates how Fibra Monterrey cash flow has proven to be resilient to shocks in inflation, exchange rate, or even interest rates. Thank you all. That would finish our presentation. Chantel, please proceed with Q&A section.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now to ask a question. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star 2. Once again, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phones now. Thank you. Our first question will come from Francisco Chavez, BBVA.
Hi. Thanks for the call and congratulations on the good numbers. I have two questions. The first one is regarding the cash distribution for the second half of the year. What can we expect, and can we expect the dividend to improve, and what will be the main drivers for dividend growth in second half? And the second question is regarding the potential M&A and the market activity in the last few months. Do you believe that there is an opportunity for more accretive acquisitions in coming months for you? In other words, are you seeing a cap rate decompression in the industry? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paco. Well, we have two main drivers for the second half, and especially the next year. The first one, as Javier mentioned, we have a lot of activity in terms of organic growth. There is we expect an improvement in occupancies in some office buildings that might be reflected in the distribution for the next quarters. The other one is, as we mentioned, we have a lot of cash and equivalents for this moment, and as we expect to finish soon the Patria acquisition and maybe the Panamericana's acquisition, we can have an additional spread as the economic cap rate, which is the cap rate less the capex, should be higher than the cash that we receive in Cetes at this time. So there's also a potential increase there. And finally, as we are at 25% loan to value, we can have additional improvement in if we acquire some of the buildings with additional leverage that can drive us to 30%. I think those three are the most important ones.
Hello, Paco. This is Javier. Regarding your second question, what we see and what we're seeing in the market right now on the M&A arena is that there's been a slight expansion on the cap rates, but that expansion already happened several months ago. We don't see cap rates expanding any more, at least not substantially. What we're seeing is a lot of pressure from the interest rate increase standpoint for some owners and developers, and we are seeing a little bit more hunger from some owners on selling their assets. We're not seeing distressed assets. What we're seeing is a need for capitalization from the existing cash flow base in order to prepay some of their debt. So we're seeing a lot of opportunities. I think this is going to remain the same tone for the next few months, at least until the end of the year. We are not seeing a lot of uncertainty from the political standpoint. We are not seeing a lot of volatility in terms of exchange rate. We're seeing a lot of opportunities on peso-denominated leases. We still have a pretty big pipeline that hopefully is going to start to shape in the second half of this year. But yes, we're seeing some opportunities on the acquisitions arena, and we're being very, very thorough, as we have always been, when it comes to pricing and when it comes to due diligence. And that's exactly the reason that we are delaying some of our acquisitions until some findings are fully resolved before finalizing the acquisition.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Armando Rodriguez, Signum Research.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the call. Well, my question is regarding the average rents, particularly in the office and industrial segments. I know those decreases were mainly driven by the depreciation of the Mexican peso, but what we should expect on the second half of this year, if we should expect, what's the trend you are seeing on those segments? Thank you very much.
Hello, Armando. This is Javier again. Yes, we've seen some adjustments on the lease rates, especially in the office market. We've seen marginal decreases in the equivalent of dollar lease rates in Mexico, Guadalajara, and Monterrey. And I say equivalent in dollars because we're seeing more and more dollar peso-denominated leases in the office market. So peso to dollar, it's been a decrease because of the exchange rate and the volatility on the exchange rate. In peso terms, I would say that they're very stable, at least in the office market. We're seeing a lot of absorption, huge net absorption in Mexico City, Guadalajara, Monterrey, record high in all three markets. That has driven the vacancy rates a little bit lower than before, and that's helping the lease rates to be relatively stable again, talking in pesos. Talking the dollar denominated office lease agreements that we've seen lately, they're probably marginally lower. I would say between 3% and 5% lower than probably the previous quarter. We don't expect that tendency to continue for a long time, unless we see a huge hike on the exchange rate. Talking on the industrial market continues to be extremely resilient. But the second quarter of this year was a little bit slower than the first quarter and the last quarter of last year. Nevertheless, we are seeing vacancy rates just around 5%, with some markets in central Mexico below 1%. And being mainly a dollar-denominated market, we are seeing very stable on the lease rates, although we've seen a generalized decrease between the first and the second quarter of this year, but the decrease was probably not even 3%. So we see a very stable market on both office and industrial, and unless we see an abrupt movement on the exchange rate or any other variable external to the market, we don't see major movements between now and the end of the year.
Okay, perfect, Javier. Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you have a question to ask and it has not been answered yet, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad now to ask a question. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Speakers, at this time, we have no further questions in the queue.
Okay, Chantel. Thank you, everybody, again, for attending our call. We hope to see you all soon, either in person or the next quarter call. And thank you again for joining us. Goodbye and good day.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, this concludes our presentation. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.